Welcome to a Sober Girls Guide podcast, a lifestyle podcast based on sobriety and recovery. I'm your host and sober girl, Jessica Jabot. Inspired by my own sobriety and wellness journey, I want to spread the wealth of knowledge. Tune in each week for uncensored conversations about mental health, self-development, wellness and spirituality, and how they influence each guest's unique recovery journey. My goal is to educate and inspire and to let you know you are not alone on your recovery journey. Thanks so much for tuning in to a Sober Girls Guide podcast. Let's go! Hello, hello, and welcome to episode 250 of a Sober Girls Guide podcast. Sabrina Zohar, the dating and relationship guru you have been looking for, is here to shine a light on dating booze-free. In this episode, you will learn what to do besides going for a drink, how to set your standards and non-negotiables when dating, how to calm your anxiety when dating or in a relationship, and how do you know when you are ready to move to the next level in your relationship. This is such a fantastic episode. It actually ends up turning into a little bit of a coaching session, and Sabrina just reads me my dating rights. It's pretty intense. This is such a fantastic episode, so let's get into it. Sabrina, I'm so stoked. I cannot believe you are here. My little dating angel is here. My anxious dating angel is in the building. What is going on, girl?
Jessica, I'm so fucking stoked to be here. Thank you for having me and welcome to the jungle. Like, we're in such a vibe here. I'm so excited.
We really are. Yeah. Queens recognize queens. Love it.
Hello. I'm stoked. Thank you for having me.
Listen, I love hate your content on TikTok because one, it's true, and two, it's fucking true. Everything you say is true. And it's like, it kills me, but it's so good. I think when I really got, like, I sunk my teeth into your content is I was going through a breakup and I was on a flight back to Vancouver from LA. And I'm like, this is it. This is the end of this 4.5 year mindfuck saga. And I was on the plane and I was watching your TikToks and I'm like, she's right. She's right. And I can do this. I can walk away. I can be and look for the person who I think I deserve to have in my life. So I just want to say a personal thank you for all your content and everything you do. It's so good. I love it. Thanks, I also want to know how you got started. How did this come about?
So very similar probably to like your own personal journey of just experiencing mm-hmm. things and then realizing like a couple of things. So for me, my journey starts all the way back. Like when I first moved to New York when I was 19, I thought I wanted to be an actor and I was really hell bent on like, this is my life. And it fucking wasn't. Mm-hmm. I was not very good at it. But I knew I wanted to like be in front of people. I just didn't know how. And the irony of like, I just had to be myself, which is always the funny thing. Mm-hmm. But then I personally have suffered with anxious attachment style my entire life and I didn't understand what it was. So like people-pleasing mother, mm-hmm. narcissistic father, really abusive home growing up, like wasn't always being hit left and right, but like verbally, emotionally, physically, like there was just so much that I normalized all of my entire life. And so as an adult, I was so anxious to the point where like I didn't understand what it means to feel something. Like I would, if I didn't hear from somebody, I would send them over like 100 texts in it, like an hour. Like it would just be nonstop where I'd be like, what the fuck? Why aren't you answering me? What's going on? Like, I don't understand. Yeah. Exactly. Like, what did I do wrong? I don't understand, but I'm so crazy about you. Like going insane. Like I would take 3 naps a day because I was so anxious. And then I started to self-medicate. So like I started to drink a lot more and I started to smoke a ton of weed. And then I started, then when I couldn't handle my emotions anymore, I got heavily medicated. I was on like 5 or 6 different kinds of antidepressants, anti-anxiety, mood stabilizer, a cocktail. I lost myself completely. And in 2016, I like looked at this guy, sweetest guy, just I knew in my gut it wasn't my partner. And I was like, this isn't working. And he was like, I agree. We left very amicably, like a little tear. And we just kind of were like, okay, let's go on with our lives. And that next day was when I cut smoking. I was a pack-a-day smoker, cut cold turkey, cut my medications, which which now in hindsight, I didn't realize I probably shouldn't have done that, but like, please consult your doctor.
Yeah,
and
definitely.
Then like cold turkey, like that was just my journey.
This is not
like,
medical advice. No, this is dating advice.
Not whatsoever. Personal experience.
Yeah.
Excuse me. And just, and then I went paleo and I started working out the next day. And that was, yeah, like all of that happened in the same fucking week. And like, I was going through these crazy withdrawals. My body was complete, but I started to see results. Like I lost 20 pounds and I started seeing things a little differently. Then I met my narcissistic ex, went through an entirety, a journey. My mom almost died. It was like this whole fuck up. I started my clothing line and I went through 4 years of losing myself. And even though I had started this catalyst, I was suicidal. Like it was 2018. My ex had said, I'm done. I'm out of here. And like, mind you, we were fucking married and like nobody really knew. Like it was a whole thing.
What?
And yeah, don't ask. And yeah. And he left and he went to go see his family. And I remember I called my mom and she literally got on a plane that next day. I was like, that's it. I'm throwing myself in front of a bus. And I would like, I would sit over the food crying hysterically, drop to 110 pounds. I'm 130 now, if anybody wants to know. And I was a shell of a human. And that was the catalyst for my healing journey. Like I really started to focus on like, it was kind of thing like enough is enough. I'm fucking tired of feeling like this. And I really, I started doing all of these modalities and throwing myself into self-healing. And then 2022 is when I was like, you know what? Fuck it. I've got nothing to lose. Right. Like my business was in shambles. My dog had just passed away. Shark Tank sent me home. And I was like, fuck it. I'll try TikTok. And like my entire life changed because I didn't understand and realize at the time that I was not a snowflake. I thought no one else experienced what I experienced and everybody else is okay besides me. I'm the fuck up because there's something wrong with me. And then I started this community and realizing like, oh my God, and then started the podcast and do the work came from that and everything and realized like, wait a minute, there's so many of us that are hurting in silence. And I felt like there was really nobody there. It's a bunch of clickbait. It's all how to do this, how to get a guy to do this, how to do this. But who's actually stopping to say, well, wait a minute, but what's coming up with for you? And I think that for me was where people finally felt like, thanks for seeing me.
100%. And it wasn't just like, okay, well, if you break up with your boyfriend or they break up with you, then just like go cold and do the same, which also creates more pain, right? And that creates like, again, another pattern of pain. It doesn't get to the heart of the matter. I think honestly, what you said just off the top of it, narcissistic father, people pleasing mother, right?
Enough said, exactly. It's like, oh, issues. Like my brother had a drug addiction. Yeah. He went to Yeah. Okay. So he went to
all
like,
three of us. Yeah.
All three of you guys. Yeah. My sister has the eating disorder. I had a sex addiction and my brother had his drug addict. And so
nice. Hat trick like us. That's great.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. And it just goes to show that like it manifests differently. Like we all had the same parents. It's like, no, we didn't. We had three different parents because we had three different experiences because of what was going on. Yeah. And yeah, like my brother went to the wilderness program, like all these documentaries. It's like, yep, he went to that. He went to a boarding school that like beat the shit out of him that got closed because of how abusive it was. Like it was really fucking intense. And the way that we all kind of dealt with it, like for me, it was my body. And I looked at it was like, if I sleep with people, like I'm not going to lie, I've had a good time. You know, like I hung my hoe hat up a long time ago, but like that's how I connected with people was, oh, if you want to fuck me, well, then you must like me.
Interesting. So was it almost like a validation kind of thing? Like if I can rope this guy in.
Exactly.
I'm good enough.
It was manipulation and control. I was thinking like, oh, if I can get them, oh, they're going to fall in love with me and I'll fuck them really well and I'll be amazing in bed and I'll do what they want. And it was like, I didn't have boundaries. Like even I haven't drank over a year, I haven't had a drink, but I personally, like I stopped dating with alcohol because I was like, wait, you're making a lot of stupid fucking decisions and mistakes and acting in ways that aren't in alignment with you.
Yeah.
That, no, I didn't want to go home with that guy last night. And that was me being like, cool, what am I doing this for? Escapism. What am I escaping from? And I like really, luckily for me, that was not the hardest vice to kick, but intimacy was.
Yeah, totally. I mean, it's also the easiest, it feels like the most easiest connection, right? Because it feels so good too.
It's like the lowest hanging fruit.
We need it. It is the lowest hanging fruit. Yeah, you're right.
It's one of those where you're just like, oh, okay, I can just use this. Whereas like when I, like for instance, like my boyfriend and I always laugh and I'm like, we're the traditional couple of 2023. Like we met on a dating app. We hooked up on the first date and I thought I was never going to see him again. You know, like to me, we were just another like throw it in the bucket. But I was, yeah. I remember like when we, like, I remember making the decision to sleep with him. And in my head, I was like, okay, I'm making this decision out of power because the guy I was dating before had erectile dysfunction. And I was like, I hadn't gotten laid in like 6 months. I was really struggling. My partner had talked about how big his dick was. And I was like, all right, let's find out. So it was very I had a talk with myself of like, what are your intentions? Okay, this feels right. And then when I left, I was like, well, hey, it was nice to have met you. Like, we went to dinner and he was like, I'd love to see you again. And I was like, yeah, well, contact me. Thinking like, I'm never going to hear, you know.
Contact like, me, dad.
Have you ever called people call mine? And I was like, yeah, sure, hit me up. And like, sure enough, the next day he texts me like still smiling from last night. And I remember just being like, uh-huh. Okay. What's your end game?
Yeah.
But all that was just me purely like actually finally getting in touch with myself to understand that I was doing things because I wanted to and that was a need of mine, not because I wanted to get him to like me. Or that's when we start to understand like anxiety and how us acting in a way that's not really in alignment with us is never going to lead us to the results that we think we want.
Totally. Oh, so actually like bringing it back to like the meat and potatoes, how do you, or how did you, because you have a partner now, but how did you date without alcohol, without drinking? What would you do?
I was not shy about it. Like that was there was a couple of things. Dating without alcohol means that you've got to be okay if people are not going to pick up what you're putting down. Like I was very okay when I'd match with people, they'd be like, let's go grab a drink. And I had no problem saying, hey, I'm not really a big drinker. Happy to go and I'll get a non-alcoholic or we can go do this. And so like, I remember quite a few guys when I lived in LA, they were like, wait, you don't drink? Like that's fucking awesome. Like, let's go have a matcha. And like, we went to a bar and we had a matcha together and it was like a bar restaurant, but we didn't want to get dinner. We didn't want to sit at the bar. So we found a way. I've had plenty of guys say like, oh, well, I want to go for a drink. And I'm like, cool. Then I don't think this is going to be a match because I never went out because I don't like to drink alcohol and I don't like to party. I'm in bed by 8. I'm up by 5. Like that wasn't an alignment. So if I was going to bend myself to do something for somebody else that was inauthentic to me, that means I'm self-abandoning versus saying, hey, I don't want to do that. Or because I did, I would do the cocktail thing. And like, I'll never forget getting a cocktail with this guy where like, I don't know if you experience this, but you know, when you're on a date and you're like sweating because you're so excited about this person, like you're literally
totally
like, I thought he catfished me because he was so good looking. And then he sent me a photo once. So I said like, do this weird thing to prove that you're real. And he did. And I was like, oh my God. So when he showed up, this 6'3" Adonis shows up, sweating bullets. And so sure enough, we got 2 drinks and like, that's not something I like to do. And he was like, let's go get dinner after. And we were walking to dinner and I'm not going to share what he said because it's personal, but he made a comment about health that it was something that I have, that I deal with. And he was like, God, could you imagine like how terrible that would be? And he was just being a dick about it. And he was like, oh, I guess these cocktails have made me a little open. And then I looked at him and I was like, so maybe this is a good time for me to be honest with you. And sure enough, like that was the end of the date. And like, he couldn't get past. And then he was like, I'm so sorry. And I was like, what, are we going to blame the alcohol on this? And like, he even admitted, he was like, yeah, I guess I did only have 2 drinks. And I was like, see, this is why I don't do this. I was like, because I don't need us to blame external factors. I don't need me to then get really sad. I went home and cried and I woke up in the morning with a migraine and I was hungover. And I was like, so none of this was worth it for me.
Oh my God. But also like, thank you for your disgusting like word vomit, you know, like thanks for letting me know who you were.
No,
you know, before. Yeah. Right. Like before it got any serious, before it even went to dinner.
Exactly. And then what was funny was we were at the restaurant, like as this happened. And so he was like, let's sit down for dinner. And it was like very obvious, like as I'm eating. And at this point I was like, he's buying me dinner. I'm like, let's go with it, Zohar. But like, you know, when you're just looking at it, I was like, I'm never seeing this guy again. Like it's very obvious. And like, sure enough, we sobered up. And like, when I got home, like I've done cocaine. Like I've done all those things. And every time I do a drug or every time I do something like that, I cry for 3 days. And I finally had to stop myself and say, okay, you're doing things for other people that aren't serving you. Like I had to find that. What are you feeling? How are you feeling? Like, I'm not kidding. I can have a sip of wine and be hungover the next day. I'm very sensitive to it because my body is like, this isn't for us. No. And so I've had to make decisions when it comes to dating. I don't go to bars. I don't want to meet somebody out when I don't drink. So why would I meet somebody out? So instead, what do I do? I meet people at workout classes. I joined hike club. I joined a cooking class. I did things during the day. I went to volleyball at the beach in Venice because it's like, the you know, every fucking person does that. So like I did things and I interjected myself into places and things. So when I met my partner and we went on a hike for our first date, he hasn't had a drink in probably like 2 months. And not because of me, but because he's like, hey, I don't need to drink as much. Like he loves his wine. He's Italian. He'll have a glass. Great. Yeah. I don't give a shit. That doesn't affect me.
Right. It's not a priority. Like drinking isn't his main priority.
Not at all.
And I think you need to set the stage. Yeah. I think listening to your tips, it sounds like that you need, before you even get into the dating process, right? Before you even get on the apps, you kind of need to establish what your standards are for you and wanting to allow another person into your life, which sounds really scary because it's eliminating a lot of things, but the point.
My non-negotiable was, my mama and I had talked about this for years. She was like, I don't want you dating somebody that's a heavy drinker, because my ex, the one that I said was a nice man, two bottles of wine every night. And it was like, apparently we're celebrating that with this backdrop, but two bottles of wine every night. And it got to a point where like, at first you're like, okay, like no big deal. Right. And then it was every day, every time I'd be with him, I'm like, we're going to the wine shop again? Like, didn't you just get? And it's like, then he'd get really annoying and he'd be a sloppy drunk. And then he'd be, and it just got, I was so turned off by that. So that became a non-negotiable for me. Not that I can't be with someone that doesn't drink. Like if you're in recovery and stuff, it's like, that's cool. You have control over your shit. Like you're doing your thing. Yeah. I was not going to be with somebody that lived for the weekend or drank a ton, but that was meant I was going to, I was going to close myself off to people that were not interested. And I would do this all the time. I'd be like, let's go. There was a natural wine bar by my house that had tons of mocktails. So I would just tell them, hey, I don't really drink. If you want to have a glass, more than welcome to, I'm going to get a mocktail. Most people had no problem with it, but set the boundary and be very confident that setting that boundary means that if somebody doesn't respect that, a two to fucking loo. Does your recovery and what you're dealing with matter more, or does what they want matter more?
Yeah. I mean, it's a no-brainer for me.
Right.
What I would imagine matters more.
I was going to say, wait, do you have other like when you're dating now with the alcohol, like have you found alternatives, or are you seeing that people aren't jiving with that?
I have had actually mixed experience, which I like actually. It actually helps me weed out my person. And I'm very picky. I will probably be alone for a very long time and I'm okay with that. But here's why. I love and I really embrace my relationship with alcohol, which is none, right? And I'm very proud of it. I have been around people who have kind of put me down for it and make fun of me for it. And that is something I will never, ever fucking tolerate again. I think it's so rude.
100%.
Right? But it's disrespect.
I want to pick up one reframe.
Yeah.
So I love that you were like, fuck yeah, I'm okay being alone. But we got to remember, brain is going to remember everything you tell it. So if you're like, I know I'm going to be alone forever, your brain is like, all right, this bitch is going to be alone forever. So instead it's, I love the relationship I have with myself. And no matter what, that's my priority. That.
I love that way better. I like that because I do want a relationship.
Yeah. Exactly. Empowering yourself to be like, you know, because you got, oh, I'd rather be a single. And it's like, well, no, that just means you don't want to be triggered. So instead it's, I know that no matter what, I'll be okay. And even instead of what if, even if I'll be fine, that's so much more empowering. I didn't mean to fucking like nag on you. I just was like, fuck it. Let's take the opportunity.
No, I love it. And I like that so much more because you're right. And I think, this kind of applies to a lot of people who I think are single or who have maybe been burned in the past by relationships or have been scared or hurt or all of the above, is we kind of talk ourselves into, I don't need this. I don't really want this. I'm fine alone. I can do this alone. I'm an independent woman. I'm strong. But at the end of the day, like, I would be lying if I said that.
Because what you're doing is
I do want it.
You're invalidating your experience. So it's like, when we think about what did we, like a lot of us experience that in childhood, right? Shame, blame, invalidation. Like I grew up in a household where like, oh yeah, fuel your emotions, fuck off with that. Like, are you kidding me? My dad would hit us or walk out. He'd be like, ah, oh, fuck, here you go again. You're three. Yep. Of course, here you go again. You're a child. So as an adult, if we invalidate our experiences, well, then we can't be shocked when our needs aren't being met because we don't meet our own needs. So when I totally understand, when I hear the fear of like, you know, but I've been so hurt. What I hear is, so then you don't trust yourself. Because if you trust yourself that no matter what, you'll be okay, you move differently. I heard this this story that really resonated. It was a hypothetical story, but it makes the point. Because we have to remember, with neuroplasticity and the way that our brain works, I've been studying neuroplasticity, it's fascinating.
Oh yeah.
But with the way that our brain works, we have the amygdala, which is holding on to so much that was stopped really being formed by the time we were six. Then we have the prefrontal cortex with decision-making and common sense. The prefrontal cortex wasn't really fully formed until you're 28. So you got a six-year-old and then a barely functioning adult up here. So when we think of it that way, there was a story, and it's like people think all the time of like that the words that you speak to yourself, oh, no one else is hearing it, right? Mm-hmm. But there was this example of they were saying, okay, so let's say this girl goes into a bar.
Okay.
We'll do a workout class here, but let's say fine, a bar for now. It doesn't really matter. Six of one, right? It's a fake fucking story. And so let's say this person is feeling really insecure about their body and feeling really insecure about themselves. So instead of walking in confident and secure, she's walking in hunched over and her shoulders are down and her head is down and she's a little meh. So off the bat, look how somebody's entering. Body language is off. Great. She goes to the bar. She orders a drink. She orders a soda. I don't give a fuck what she orders. The bartender behind is being rude to her. He's just being an asshole. Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, to anybody else, we know he's a fucking bartender. Good luck. Enjoy your goddamn night. Mm-hmm. But to her, and because her self-esteem is low and she liked this guy and was trying to flirt with him, him being dismissive is, oh, see, I knew it. It's because I'm fat. That reaffirmed her core belief. So then she gets all sad and then she leaves. So if we look and go, all right, you want to tell me again that the thoughts that you have in your mind don't create your reality? Because if you believe everyone's going to judge me and no one's going to like me, then you're literally going to create that reality in front of you. And if we continue to say, I don't need anybody, I'm fine alone. Okay, so then you're not acknowledging your needs, you're discrediting your own needs, and then you're putting yourself down because you do want somebody.
Yeah.
The brain's fucked. I get it.
But it's also hard. It's hard to admit.
I know.
I mean, I'm sure other people feel this way. It's hard to admit that you need and want something from someone else.
But then we have to
scary.
Then ask. Cool. But let me ask you a question then. Where did you learn that it's hard to ask for your needs? And what are you so scared?
Oh, my parents. 100%. Because they never would meet my needs. Even to this very day. Never.
Then we go next. What are you so scared of then? Honestly, whatever comes to mind.
I don't know.
That's okay.
Like, but
that's the beauty of when
maybe, okay, maybe disappointment.
Okay, disappointing.
I don't want to like put out the effort or put out anything, any like feelings or investment, because I feel at the end of the day, I'm just going to be disappointed.
So what facts do we have to back that up, that every time you put your feelings out there, you're going to be disappointed?
Well, that's just always happened.
No, but we don't have any facts that's going to.
Well,
that's
no.
A core belief. Exactly.
Right.
So what we have to remember
is, got it.
Exactly. Your brain is going based on what it knows from the past.
Previous
so
experience.
But now we have to say, well, yeah, what am I so scared of? Disappointing myself. Okay, but if I don't attach to this person, if I just get to know them and if I move slowly, I'm in control. What can I control?
Mm-hmm.
And more so, the reason I challenge isn't because I'm being an asshole, but because we get so scared and we conflate so much that when we start to separate it and we're like, oh, yeah, I guess, what am I so fucking scared of? Then if you go out and you start expressing yourself and saying, well, hey, this is what I need, and someone walks away, it's like, well, I didn't attach to you anyways. I was practicing asking for my needs. You're not my parents. But when you're scared, it's because your brain can't differentiate if you're asking mom or dad for a need or if you're asking some schmo that you met on the internet.
Yep. Nailed it.
It's like, who knew that this was going to be me fucking challenging your thoughts? But I hope that anyone listening learns how to do that. Of like, what am I so scared of? Disappointment. Disappointing who? Myself or them? Well, if I disappoint them, how is that in my control? I can't control other people's opinions of me.
Right. Totally. But it's easy. I can see, like, once you just broke it down, I can see how it's also easy to get stuck in this pattern of thinking. So 100%. Easy. Right? Because like even that old saying, like the best way to predict the future is to look at the past. Have you ever heard of that? My dad used to freaking say that to me all the time.
And then we wonder where
you scare me. Yeah.
Because and here's the thing. We can learn from the past. Absolutely. Like history, remember to remember, right? It's like history is going to repeat itself. But that doesn't mean that because we did, if we learned from the past, that doesn't mean we have to repeat it. Because if we start to implement new tools, like, trust me, when I'm, before I met my partner, that's why I was laughing when I left. And I was like, all right, well, if I see him again, cool. If I don't, I don't. Because I refused to attach to, like, because I had all of my friends were shaming me. How could you have slept with him? He's not going to take you seriously. And I remember even, like, I didn't even talk about it when I posted a TikTok video about him. Because I that was what started this. I was like, I don't know, I had some date with this tech guy last night. And I never shared it because I was like, I knew the trolls were going to attack me. And, but at the end of the day, I was like, but I was confident that no matter what, I was going to be okay. So I didn't really need to listen to all this external bullshit because I was like, well, I trust myself. And if it doesn't work out, I'll be okay. I've fucked many of people and walked out with nothing before.
Right.
And I think that's it. When we actually, oh, the fear of, oh, he's going to abandon me. Eh, he's not my dad. I've already dealt with that. Like, I've told my dad to fuck off. No one else is going to be as scary to me.
Totally. Same.
Yeah.
Same. Yeah. So much happier. So much lighter. Like, so, yeah. Wish so him much- well. Love ya. Totally. Love ya and leave ya. Bon voyage, sister.
It's not enough credit given to children that walk away from dysfunctional families. There's just not. Like,
yes. It's almost like we're guilted into, like, you should work on your parents, your relationship with your parents. They're your blood. You should. It's like, not when it hurts you.
No.
Not when it hurts you.
So that's okay. So yeah, it's like, oh, if anybody shames it for that, it's like, oh, so I have to be a good girl, right? Oh, I can't upset a man, right? Oh, because I have to. And my mom used to teach us that. Even like my partner the other, when my mom was here, she didn't even realize it. She was like, you know, Sabrina, like, don't say anything to him. Like, I think he's stressed, you know, like, don't add to it. And I remember looking at her and I was like, Mom, where did you learn that? And she even realized, she was like, oh my God, did I just say that to you? And I was like, yeah, you did. So subconscious. And she was like, I've been conditioned because in our parents' generation, if a narcissist, my mom's like, oh, really? Do you think when I married your father, anyone knew what that word was? She was like, you know what people would say to me? What are you doing to make him unhappy? Oh, he's cheating on you? What are you doing wrong?
That's exactly the dynamic with my parents' relationship too. Well, what did you do?
Yeah.
Oh, he hit you, but what did you do to deserve it?
Exactly. Oh, and that's what's like, oh, so then we learn, oh, right. Then that's where fear starts to come in of like, oh, well, then when I do this, I'm going to get, because when we have like your parents sound like, or your father sounds like mine, when you have an emotionally unavailable, limited fucking human being of a parent, that's who's teaching you these things. We can't be shocked as an adult when we implement what our parents taught us. So now what we have to do, the work that lies in here, doing the fucking work, is figuring out, where did I learn that from? So where did I learn these people-pleasing skills? Great. What age was I? Okay. How can I reparent that little child to give her permission that her needs matter because I'm here to validate her and I don't give a fuck about anyone else?
Oof. No big deal.
Just a casual. The work.
Yeah.
Just a casual Wednesday afternoon, you know? Like,
oh
just
my God.
Just child shit.
Yeah. And herein lies the work. If anyone wanted to know what the work was, the definition, Sabrina just spelled it right out there.
It's wild because like when I work with clients on this, they'll like, I just had one right before we talked. And at first she was like, all right, like, I guess we can try this. And then she opened her eyes and she was like, oh, now I see what you meant. And I was like, yeah, this isn't some crunchy, like, you know, see yourself skipping in a field. It's like, no, this is going back to a memory that causes you so much pain and turmoil, seeing yourself, validating yourself, giving yourself the needs you didn't have. And then removing yourself from that memory.
Oof.
It's powerful, but you know as well as I do how fucking
worth it. It's tough. It's tough, but it's so worth it because then you stop the cycle. You stop, you know, it's almost like a lens that's kind of blocking or blurring like a vision and impairing how you maybe see or move through the world. When you take off that lens, it's like, oh, I'm okay. Like I can handle this.
100%.
I don't need to be afraid.
beautifully said. And that's kind of like, you know, honestly, that's why I hate those fucking are we dating the same guy group chats, because what my issue with them is, like, I get the foundation of it, of like, all right, hey, like, I, you know, one of my clients, that's how she found out her husband was cheating on her. So it's like, okay, I understand that. But then she and I have talked where it's like, yeah, but there were other things. You know what I mean? Like, we didn't need the Facebook group for us to figure this out.
Yeah.
But my issue with that is, like, everybody is going to trigger other people differently. And what we don't see is both sides of the story. So if we hear one person's experience of, well, this happened, this happened, this happened, and it's like, okay, but what was your part in this as well? How did you? Mm-hmm. Because if I hear this guy was such a this and he was such a that, and it's like, all right, where's the rest of the dialogue, though? Because right. we're not actually seeing things with a clear understanding of us taking accountability and ownership while also having compassion for other people and where they are. And if we just villainize everybody else and make it about everybody else, guess what we're avoiding doing? Looking at ourselves.
Right. And you don't learn anything that way, right? You keep going and you keep making the doing the same patterns, attracting the same brand of person.
Or and the same- reason you'll do that? Your brain. Your brain is hardwired to do that. So that's why the beauty is, there's nothing wrong with anybody doing that. You're not, like, broken, but it's now going, oh, so my brain's literally hardwired for me to repeat the same things, because our brain only knows how to keep us safe. So routine and repetition keeps us safe. It knows what to expect. You keep dating the same kind of guys, you know what to expect. It's the same thing.
Yeah.
That's why when people meet somebody healthy, healthy equals boring. It's like, no, you're just not ready to receive love from somebody, because it's, you're just so used to always having to beg and earn for it that this feels foreign.
Guilty.
I know.
Even with my partner. So guilty. But I do like, I like a little challenge. Like, but there's a difference between, like, working and begging for someone's, like, love and attention, but, like, then a little mystery. I love a little mystery.
Healthy mystery. Listen, when I first met my partner, we didn't text every day. We didn't talk every day. Oh, like, I love that. Exactly. And it was like, there was that mystery of, like, okay, I'm not seeing him till Thursday. It's Monday. And you're like, huh.
But like, I want to miss you.
Exactly. It was curiosity. It was this person's consistent and they show up, but it's not like, I'm the same. I get bored if someone texts me every single day, what are we talking about? After a while, you're like, I don't care. You know that they're going to text you. My phone, it's not exciting. Versus I'm genuinely getting to know this person and I'm excited when they contact me. That's a sexy mystery of, ooh, they have their own life. This is really hot. Versus this guy ignores me, so I have to constantly text them first. Like, that's the unhealthy dynamic of, like, baby, that guy's just not that into you.
Yeah. Okay. So that's the difference. That's like a green flag versus a red flag.
The green flag, like, the biggest misconception is the, like, oh, if they don't text you, it's a red flag. And I'm like, okay, where's the nuance here? Oh my God, there's a fucking video on Instagram and I wanted to break my laptop when I saw it. And it was this guy and he was like, if a guy doesn't text you for an entire day, it's because he doesn't care about you. You could be dying on the side of the road. You could have the worst day of your life. He doesn't even care about you. And it's like,
how does he even know?
I'm sorry. You just made this entire, and of course it got millions of plays and thousands of women being like, I knew it. Fuck all these guys. And it's like, my partner wouldn't text me for 2 days. So what? He didn't give a fuck about me?
No.
So that's anxiety. That's where we create a narrative to fit our story so that we can be I knew it, versus somebody that says in the beginning, I want to go slow. Big green flag for me. Because my next question is, well, what does going slow look like for you? Oh. What does that mean to you?
Okay.
For me, going slow is, I don't want to expedite the stages of a relationship quicker than they need to be. My partner and I, we still saw each other twice a week. We talked twice a week, two or three times, you know, like every other day, something like that.
Yeah,
but I didn't need to, like, meet his friends after a month. I didn't need to for him to come into no. Let's go slow. Let's genuinely get to know each other. Let's spend time together. He asked me to be his girlfriend after 2 months, and I told him it's too fast. I was like, I don't know you that well. It wasn't because I didn't want a relationship. I wanted to make sure that I wanted one with him.
Oh,
right. I wanted to choose.
Love that. Yes.
Versus being chosen. Like, okay, so you, just because somebody's like, I want you to be my girlfriend, well, that doesn't mean I'm ready for that. And that, and he understood that when I said that, he was like, I get what you mean. And we kept dating. It wasn't a fuck you, you don't want a relationship. It's like, well, that's protest behavior. When we start to do the stomping and the screaming and the cold shoulder, the one word answers, the matching energy, that's called protest behavior.
Hate that.
I know.
Hate that. It's so ridiculous. It doesn't make anything better.
It's also not rooted in security.
Relationships are about coming together and making things better together.
And it's like, I'm sorry, but when I hear people do that, I'm like, that sounds really immature, and it sounds like you're testing your partner and you're playing games.
Yep. 100%. And I love that you said that. I love that you were like, I want to get to know you. Because like, to genuinely get to know someone, it takes a while. That doesn't happen in 2 months.
Not by a fucking lot. That's what I'm saying. When people are like, oh, but they were so amazing. And I'm like, you knew them for all of 4 weeks. You don't fucking know this person.
Right.
You have no idea. What medications are they allergic to? What's their middle name? How do they act when you set a boundary? What happens when someone cuts them off? You don't know shit about shit.
Oh. How do they act when they don't get what they want? That is a friggin' game changer.
Right? Just even knowing that. I see my partner, the reason I'm in a relationship with him, every time we had conflict and the resolution, I felt closer and closer and closer. I didn't want to be with him because he was sweeping me off my feet and he was treating me. I can take care of myself. I can give myself the best life ever. I was with him because, whoa, when I was going through something, I loved the way he supported me. When we had an argument or like a disagreement, he would take full ownership, take accountability, and step up and implement changes. That was hot to me. That's how we have such an incredible deep connection where we feel so fucking in love with each other because I feel so safe with him.
That is sexy.
It's so hot.
That is some sexy shit. I would love that.
It takes time though. That's the thing, is it's like takes time and time and time, and anxious people don't want to hear that.
No, we want it solved today, preferably like in the next hour. Right?
Ideally. Yeah. And that's and then I think at the end of the day, it's like for anyone that's saying that, it's like, let me ask, your recovery take that quick? You and I both know it didn't.
Right. Ooh, touche. Oh my God. Sabrina, I freaking love you. Where can people find you on the World Wide Web?
You too, man. I'm stoked. Thank you for doing what you're doing. And thank you for making it acceptable and a safe space for people that are on this journey to have a place to come and talk. So I think the world needs more of that in just in general. But if you want to find me, of course, I have a podcast called Do the Work or Sabrina.Zohar on TikTok and Instagram, or Do the Work podcast on Instagram is where you can find me.
Amazing. Thank you so, so much for taking your time and sharing your experience and knowledge with us. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, man. Thanks for having me and thanks for listening.
I absolutely love Sabrina and I did not expect that to happen. It is so interesting how our earliest relationships still impact our current ones. As always, thank you so much for listening. Please make sure to rate, subscribe, and leave your feedback about the podcast. Follow us at asobergirlsguide.com on Facebook and Instagram, and head to asobergirlsguide.com. We got your back at any stage of your booze-free journey. Head to asobergirlsguide.com now. Thank you so much for listening, and have a great day.